We'll be reminded of a couple things and hop into the notes, skis. Father, we're grateful again as we share in these evenings that we've had a year that has been eventful. It's been a year in which you've accomplished some good things. We've learned many important things. We've been exposed to many important things. Most of all, we've had an opportunity to be in a relationship where we learn best if we're related to your spirit in the right way. So we trust that as we continue these last two sessions that we might find that continuing and you'll guide in what we need to cover. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Sounds like Richard is here.
Yeah, it does.
Tanya and Crowley are talking, so I give it a second.
Yeah. But be reminded that next week we will meet here at 5:30, and we'll have a barbecue. I think we have had that sign up, so it should be, I think things should be in pretty good shape, I hope, in that matter. And so that is on the hook, and that will be our last session. We went ahead in Forest Grove and decided that we would do on the 5th that session, because Dale and I didn't get as much done as we wanted to. We could have scrambled and chose not to, so we end up with 13 hours in that evening school instead of 12. We had planned to be out of here next week early, and it didn't work out quite that way. I'll be leaving on the 9th, I think, is when I'm out of here for a week in that matter. So
remind me again, where is it you're going now?
No, I'm going to NOLA.
New Orleans.
Nolan.
Yeah.
Don't you guys ever watch NCIS LA?
Well, it's funny because that is something relatively recent when they call it NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana. So I'm going to be down there for a week and having a little opportunity to look at some history and look at some more history and look at some more history. At this point, tentatively, I plan to be at the World War II Museum for a couple of days. Plan to go to the Confederate Museum, which is not quite as impressive. And I plan to go to the, whatever it is, Jazz Museum, New Orleans Mint Museum, which happens to be in the same building. So I should have some fun with that on that count. So what is that noise?
Next door neighbor working on stuff.
Oh.
I have an next door neighbor who actually works outside in the shop underneath the thing there, so you might hear him occasionally if the windows are open.
Oh, I see. And I didn't identify the sound.
The rats are busy.
Right, yeah, these are big rats. In that matter, so. Okay. And then again, we're targeting, we'll see what God has, but we are tentative for next round, and that is, our tentativeness is on our subjects. Next week we should have a time on that matter on it. Yeah, don't forget to shake this hand up here. Good. So, stronger?
No.
No, not stronger. Well, I keep praying you're going to get stronger.
I kept praying that the pneumonia set me back about 2 months.
No.
Give or take.
All right. Nasty stuff.
Wow.
Yep. So, in the fall, I'll have a date. I could give it to you later. I've got a calendar here when we target. It's the Monday after Labor Day is when we usually start. And we'll see, the target. And I'm pretty certain that what we're going to do is in my hour, and Don will talk more about it and what he's thinking about. I mean, we're not in concrete, so that's the way that works. But I'm planning,
The 10th
of September.
So it would be the 10th.
Okay, 10th of September. Right. And so that's the game plan. And I think Mark and Tony will tolerate us another round. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to be, my goal is to go through the 8 types of Christians. And, I was thinking about who was in that when we did it back several years ago. And Richard, you were in here?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to remember whether you were or not.
It would be great to do it again because I think I'll be able to understand a lot more now.
So I can make it more complicated. And we were talking a little bit about it coming down, and that is, it's something. What year was that?
Let's see.
Do you have a list of that?
Yeah, I have it. Let's see. 8 Types of Christian, 2007, 2008, first fall quarter.
So it's been 10 years plus.
Fall and winter quarter, both.
So we did it 2 quarters. That class we could do in a year on it. And
wow, take that long.
Well, those who weren't in that class, how many? I mean, can you think of how many guys? I mean, which ones would you remember or would know? 8 different kinds of Christians.
I just remember the carnal Christian.
Yeah, is that from practice?
Yeah.
You know, he was coming and so did he. He walked into that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are 8 kinds, and so.
My example right here.
Carnal. Jeff isn't here, so we can't give him a bad time.
Let's not be the only carnal.
I mean, the 8 types, we've got positives, which are spiritual and mature, and the link between the spiritual believer and the mature. Then you have, you have the satanically involved problems, one of which is the age lover. Well, not a lover, age conformer. Age conformer, that's Romans 12. You've got the ensnared believer, 2 Timothy 2:26. Let's see, age lover, I'm having to think here.
World
lover. Yeah, we have world lovers, 1 John 2. And what did I miss? 3.
I love Nicodemus, put love this person evil age.
Okay, age lover is what I was skipping.
Nicodemus, yeah.
Yeah, and so the age lover, and so anyway, we will be working our way through those. So what happens, we're working down, I mean, we end up looking at the enemies, and how there are believers who conform to those enemies. And, it doesn't mean when you're, carnal that Satan can't mess with you. We were getting some of that along the line. That's not the case. If you're carnal, he just playing the pulpit, the puppet, pulling the strings. He doesn't attack. And that, he doesn't have to attack. He just plays the game.
Manipulates.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that just hints, and we don't need a commercial for that necessarily on it. And, I just really wish that more people understood those.
Sounds good.
And so that's there. And Don can mention where he's talking about going. Okay, we're in the soon section. That is to the together, the identifiable together section. And that's extremely important. For a lot of things, if you are thinking in those terms. I had a call, or I talked to somebody about history, about the last, obviously had to happen the last 16 years. And, It was interesting, somebody I haven't talked to for quite a while, for several years. And they were talking about some of these classes that I teach. And one thing that made an impression on that person was when my wife died, and I said, or I talked about how the togetherness that is in Christ made a big difference in my life. Without that, I wouldn't know what I would have done. Knowing that though she was with the Lord, she's still together with me because I'm together with her. You know, because we have the same position. And so at the right hand, God sees us together. And that made an impression on that person and has made an impression for several years. And that is a good way to teach. I mean, that's, you know, there's something that works, that truth does. And it's worked over and over since when we've gone through this. It's so important. And so we're at this possessions. We are built together. Isn't it interesting how when you get together with other believers, you recognize there's a bond there, especially when you know they are really believers. When you know they're saved, there's that bond. It's just you're part of this building together. I've got Ephesians 2:21 and 22, and I'm not going to look at some of these because of time. But we're in that building, and we're joined together with joints, just like in a building. And so when we run into other believers, you know, when you run into another believer you've never met before, and it's just like you knew them all their lives, and they knew you all your life. That's because you're in the same building. And so we enjoy that. That's why it's so important to gospel check sometimes. Just because somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian. You don't know for sure. I mean, they don't know what we're thinking sometimes. But when you check them and do that, I told you before, when you gospel check somebody, all you're doing is finding out for yourself that you're pretty certain that that person's a believer if they can give you the gospel. If they can't, it doesn't mean they're not a believer. It just means they are not capable of carefully giving it, or they hadn't heard it quite right, and they didn't. It's not the focus.
Can I add one thing to that? What I have discovered in the recent years, if I ask what I think might be a question, do you know what the gospel is, or can you tell me the gospel? They were never taught this in those terms. They were never, they don't know what the word gospel really means in many cases. So I've learned to say, well, what was it? I like to tease them because I always say, what was it that you did to get saved? Rather than what you have to do, just because I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ask them that, then often they'll give me the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why that tract that I use a lot, you know, what did you believe about Jesus Christ to be saved? You know, they say they're a Christian, so you can ask them, and it's not a leading question at all. And so it's doing the same thing on it. And the idea of checking on the work side of it, what did you do? It's a really valuable, we do that. Anytime we interview members, it seems we always are asking, somebody asks that question. It's fun because we're not paid. I mean, we don't plan it ahead of time, but somebody always does in the interview. And so it's always a blessing. So anyway, we're in that building together. And it's fun to see that. We had a couple visitors yesterday at church. And it was fun there was no question about their salvation. I didn't get a gospel check, but, there were a lot of other indicators of that. And we'll see what comes there. It was it's been an interesting experience for about 3-4 days. And in that matter, but we're in the same building. You're really a believer. And it takes some radar, okay? I mean, you have to be able to sense that somebody is in the building. It's not a hocus pocus sense. It's just, you know. So you're in the building. You have this oneness. And that oneness doesn't necessarily mean that there is a doctrinal unity. There should be, but it doesn't mean that. Because there are those who are untaught that you will relate to, and that oneness is kind of interesting. They can understand oneness and yet disagree in certain areas of theology. So we need to remember that, and this unity. Why are we playing around with Ephesians and not turning there? Okay, we're on page 39, and we're down on number two under possessions shared. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. And it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word unity is oneness. Comes from a number one. Now, where's together here? It doesn't look like I think we got the wrong verse. No, we didn't. You know where the soon is? It's in the word bond. We're bound together in this oneness. So you can, if you happen to be in an interlinear, you can see that that soon in front of the word bond, soon desmo. The word desmos is a word for, like when Paul and Silas were in prison, and where was I? Was with Peter when he was bound between two soldiers, and desmos is he had bonds. Paul uses, of course, in the right kind of epistles for that kind of thing, in the prison epistles. And so we are bound together in this unity, in this oneness. Kind of interesting. It seems like if you have this possession, it's kind of nice to be able to use it. Wish we didn't have sin natures. It would work a lot better, wouldn't it? Because when you have a sin nature, what happens is being bound together doesn't always lead to oneness. Because when one person is carnal and one is not, Don and I were talking tonight about a believer who married an unbeliever. His life has been kind of a disaster because he knew better and there was a bond. But you know, as a pastor, and I look at people, I think some of the bigger catastrophes of people that I've done the ceremony for was when there were two Christians that were clearly believers, and one of them got carnal, or both of them. And it breaks a pastor's heart, if you really want to know, when you see that happen. And one of them gets carnal, and they do stupid, stupid carnal things. And if there are two of them, it's even worse. And I kind of like to see my knots tight. And they like to unravel knots sometimes in that case. And it's too easy for me to think of people who were not bound together as spiritual believers. And it's always a challenge. When I do premarital, you know what I do? I don't give them any one of these fancy Taylor Johnson temperament tests or any of that. You know what I give them? A dose of their understanding of the spiritual life and how it applies to the individual life and to the couple. So it's a mini spiritual life course to try to push them in the right direction. And, unfortunately, I have some that have failed in that matter. Bond of peace, bound together in that matter. Let's go over to Colossians, and Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19, where we have this desmos word again, and with the soon, 219, not holding, let's read from 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, not and worshiping angels and intruding in those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together. There's our soon. Bound together. It's, the AV translates it knit. It's a word for join. In fact, it's kind of funny. If we were doing this in building terms and carpentry, that would be a term for putting things together with a good clean joint. Good cabinetry term. Only they probably didn't have cabinets. We do. I mean, so that's the idea here. Increases with the increase of God. Let's translate that right so you get the picture. Grows with the growth of God. That's the word for grow. It's the same word at the end of 2 Peter 3. Grow in the grace and the knowledge. It's the same word. And so here you have this privilege of being joined together. And so we have joints in that matter. We're fellow bond slaves. A lot of Christians don't like the idea of being a bond slave. They don't want to be a slave to anybody. After all, they were born in the USA. And so they're not going to be a slave to anybody. Well, I think it's an awesome privilege to be a slave of Jesus Christ. And to be willing to let our will conform to his will as the Holy Spirit manifests it. And so Epaphras is a guy that we kind of, I enjoy Epaphras. I have to be careful. I don't do many character studies, and he's one I probably would have a tendency to. And that it says in 1:7 of Colossians, and as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear soon slave, our dear together slave, it's translated fellow servant. Who is for you a faithful or a reliable minister of Jesus Christ? A reliable servant of Jesus Christ. There's a textual problem there, I know. Whether Jesus is in the text or not. It is in Textus Receptus, so I have no problem with it. To me, it makes more sense, but that's okay. But you see, a together slave. Isn't it nice to be in the same, what do you want to call it, group of slaves? If we're living there and recognizing, you know, there's a word that goes just along with this all the time, and it's not in that verse. Which is interesting to me that Paul didn't use it. And that's the word Lord.
Would you say that in order to be a bond slave, a true bond slave, you have to be spiritual and mature?
At least spiritual. Okay. Mature is going to be pretty close to an automatic. Okay. But to be a slave, as you're spiritual and you're in the process of growing, you will begin to understand that you have a responsibility somewhere else.
The reason I'm asking that is because to me the concept of bond slave carries more the idea of one who is living it and practicing their walk. Not just a positional type of thing, but you're doing it. You're involved in ministry. You're involved in serving and loving. That would be a bond slave. But other Christians who aren't involved in doing much, they're really in practice, they're not a bond slave. Is that on my...
Well, be careful.
Okay.
But the thing I think that, well, I mean, we're leaving out because we're just going a verse at a time, is the relationship of slave, that is doulos, to kurios, to the Lord. This doesn't happen until you set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. And then, I mean, then you at least have made, moved in the right direction in that matter. And Epaphras with Paul, I always think it's great when I see Paul saying soon. I mean, with me and with Epaphras, this together bond slave, he sees him in a sense as an equal in his function in the body of Christ. The great apostle Paul with this fellow named Epaphras. That's why I think he's a great, I won't call him a role model, but I think he's a great example of what can happen to a believer. And you'll notice Epaphras happens to be, no, you don't see it here, but he happens to be a Colossian. Epaphras met Paul in Rome. Probably. He may have met him in Ephesus, but anyway, Paul never visited Colossae. Yet he had such an intimate relationship with Epaphras. He is one of, I would call him one of Paul's favorites. He's not alone, and that's not the only person describes him and relates to him. Verse 7 of chapter 4. And in 4:7 it says, and he's got another one here, and his name is Tychicus. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, family of God, a brother, a faithful minister. The word minister is the diakonos word we just saw of Epaphras, and a together servant. Now we have, Lord, a fellow servant in the Lord. You see, this thing of being a servant is because we're in the body of Christ, and we know who's ahead, and we know the reason that Lord is used here. He's the head of the body. And so this being in the Lord is positional, but it's a recognition of the fact that the Lord really is the Lord. I've had people get mad at me and when I said he's the boss. I have to back off a little bit about using it that way. People on, well, your view of a boss depends on the bosses you've had. And so most of them don't match the boss we have in that sense, because he's the perfect one. And so you can see this being a together slave in the Lord. So this is positional. It's in the body of Christ. And that's the soon is there for that reason. We got some more soons down in this section. What do I want to do with them? I think about them. Let me just hop down here and show you some soons in chapter 4. Verse 9. Let's read. Let's just keep reading. Verse 8 says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate. He wants to make sure you have a will.
And that he's a beneficiary.
I had a talk with a fellow today. My heart goes out to this guy. I've prayed for quite a long time that I might have an opportunity to share the gospel with him. He's a guy I run into when I walk. I've got several of them. I have that. And I just am impatiently sometimes, but I'm patiently waiting. Today I finally got to talk to him pretty extensively. He lost his mother in January, I think it was. And so I hadn't seen him, so I got to talk to him about his loss. You know, he said, now I've lost both my parents. And I said, yeah, you're an orphan. And I said, you know, it's really difficult. And he was really arm wrestling it still. And it'd be nice to, but he was talking about the estate. The mother had said, I want you to have the house. He has a sister. And I want you to have the house. So he was raised in it. He bought it in 1968. And the sister was, his mom has been sick for 2 years and his sister visited twice. And it hurt him when he could have used help. He's always felt awkward because he's a guy trying to help a mother, especially when she has health issues that are the kind that are, you know, she started out with breast cancer, and so he was having, I mean, he was thrown into this in that matter. Anyway, and so we were talking about the estate. She wanted, and she wrote it down in handwriting, told several people that she wanted him to have the house. She wanted to go to a lawyer, but didn't, because she was so sick, because her cancer turned to liver cancer. So that was the estate issue. And so he doesn't want to, he's got too many memories, so he doesn't really want the house, but he knows, I mean, he's in a dilemma. And if he had a divine helper, it would sure be nice. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, how do I get off on that? I was not supposed to do that. The word estate happens to be just in this thing, this circumstance. And comforts your hearts, verse 9, together with Onesimus. There's a soon. The with is a soon. So together with, this involves that relationship in the body of Christ with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. You can see Onesimus was a Colossian. Remember Onesimus? He had a slave that he owned. No, he wasn't. He was a slave. He was a slave. He had a boss who were an owner whose name was Philemon. Philemon. And so, Onesimus, they shall make known unto you all the things which have been done. Then we go to verse 10, Aristarchus. You have to be a Christian 5 years before you can pronounce that well. No. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Whoa, there's another soon. My together prisoner. So here, this is not so much the spiritual things, except that he's together and he is a prisoner as well and a believer. And I think the soon is there to say he's another believer that is doing what he needs to do. He greets you, Marcus, son of Barnabas, concerning whom you received commandments. If he comes to you, receive him. Verse 11. We still have more soons in here. One more. And Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, that is, these were Jewish, these are my together workers unto the kingdom of God. See, fellow workers, there's a soon again in this section, which have been a comfort unto me. And he brings up Epaphras again, but he doesn't use a soon this time with Epaphras. He just says, he greets you. And you can read more about him here. So that's a little deviation from the notes. You see how important that soon is in that matter. Bond slaves together, workers together. Now, that's in verse 11. Together workers. It's always interesting. The together workers. It's amazing. Some of us have had that privilege a long time of having together workers in the body of Christ. I happen to be one of those who've had a privilege of doing that. Many years of my ministry, in fact, most of the years of my ministry, I've had soon ergons, fellow workers. Different ways, whether they were deacons, whether they were fellow faculty members, this togetherness. I don't know why God has blessed me as much as he has with as many that have been spiritual people who I have had to relate to. I need them. And I see it today. I mean, it's just, it's awesome to know that I have so many together workers. In relationship to that. Which reminds me, if you happen to have Chris Camelli cross your mind, supplicate for him. He's down trying to get his mother assembled so she can move up here to Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a long week at least. Mm-hmm. And so, here's a fellow worker. And I couldn't ask for a better one. And it has just been, it's been great. Of course, I also have some others in that matter. And even a carnal one.
The exception.
That was a setup.
Yeah.
I mean, he set that one up for a while.
I can't say to have that one coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I appreciate so much more having my brother as a fellow over. And to have that kind of thing, it's,
yeah.
I'm a little frustrated almost that he can't walk with me because we get a lot of business done walking. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we have great fellowship, but he's not able to do that right now. And so, but this together workers, we'll, I've got a list of them. Paul likes that term. He uses it in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Romans. And in the notes, I didn't even put Colossians 4:11 in that list that you have. It's there. It's in the ETC at the end. You can look that up in the, in Englishman's and see. Workers together, chosen together. Am I going to mess with something if I say what I'm going to say? Probably. What am I going to do? You know, if you don't understand the doctrine of God's choosing you and choosing a brother or a sister, you got problems. And these issues that people have with this, the doctrine of election, is, I mean, it's a real problem.
It is.
I mean, you become a Calvinist because you believe in election. You know, I happen to know somebody that understood election very well that predated Calvin by a millennium and plus. That's Apostle Paul. Eklegomai and eklektos are the two words in the Greek. God knew his choice. We had some interesting times on Sunday when I talked about in Hebrews 10, the book of the decree. How God chose to do certain things. And yeah, he chose people, but he did certain things. And part of those things were sending, the Son came willing to come because the Father sent him. And it was the way they planned it. And it was his, the choice was there. And it was perfect. And there was no resentment on the part of the Son at all. Because he was perfect God in perfect harmony with the togetherness in the Godhead. And so, but being elect ones together, chosen ones. Sometimes we need to be a little bit more careful. Because when we understand that when we relate to one another, we're pretty close to treading on sacred ground. As we relate to each other, God made that all possible so that we could relate and we could have all of these relationships we've been looking at. And I don't know whether sacred ground is a good way to describe it, but it is pretty special. To say the least. And so that becomes extremely important to us in that matter. Blended together. Let's go look at that in 1 Corinthians 12:24. It relates to spiritual gifts in that context. 1 Corinthians 12:24. Oops, we're not doing what I wanted to do, but that's okay. We're still being edified. In verse 24:12 says, for our comely parts, the word comely here is a word that has, is a word for having a good outside appearance. It's, schema is our Greek word with an EU in front of it. And so it has the idea of a good appearing, outside appearance, have no need. And I'm pulling this out of context because he's already talked about uncomely, having more abundant comeliness in the previous verse. But God has tempered the body together. The word temper is not nad. The word temper has the idea of blended. If you have an interlinear, you can see that. He blended the body together. And so there's this blending of spiritual gifts. That's why if you go to a church where there's one prominent gift, And the rest of them are second-grade citizens. You're in the wrong place. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Because we are all interdependent on that. I've had people say, why do you do what you do? Why do you suggest that somebody goes to somebody that has a need and you've been there, but you send somebody else? Because I happen to know somebody's spiritual gifts is needed there, and it's my gift is not the one that's the important one. I can be shepherding, but somebody with a gift of helps or showing mercy or encouragement, you know, these gifts, they can all be used in all these different ways. And so that's what I like to see. And I have no problem at all if somebody with a different gift can do a better job in that situation than I can. I'm not proud. The only pride I have as far as that's concerned is I know who the head of the body is, and I'm proud of him, you know, in that matter. So when we're reminded of this being, the word, like I say, the word tempered together is the concept of blended.
The new King James says composed.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. Keras. I'm trying to remember the root meaning, and I'm not remembering it all of a sudden on that. So I guess I'd have finished the verse. Having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Why? That there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Blended. So that we have the same care for one another. That is not the local, the local church often does not represent this. I mean, it's just amazing how many problems there are in local churches between people in the matter of, just of relationships, let alone spiritual activity. And that's not God's intention. And you're living in your position in Christ, you're blended. So it's okay to let somebody. Now, there may be somebody that has a gift and you're not quite happy with them. Maybe they just rub you the wrong way. Don't forget, they're very important to you, whether you want to know it or not. And so, commercial time there, I guess. We are not only blended together, we're knit together. Knit together. And that takes us back to Ephesians 4 again. We were in 3, now we're in 4:16. And in 4:16 you have it, and I'm not going to look at all of these other verses with it, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Okay, I need the context, or I'd like to have a computer up here. For whom the whole body fitly joined together, having been compacted, that's bibazo, which means to put together in, or brought together in a specific way, which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in measuring every part maketh increase of the body even unto the edifying of itself in love. You have two soon words here. Being fitted, that is being joined together like joints, and then being brought together in that matter. And so the idea of being brought is to be knit together. I like to knit together because I think we kind of can understand it. Because it's interesting when you look at fabric, some knit is better than other knit. And, something that's well knit is, it's hard to identify the distinctions between the threads. Or some sweaters, you knit them together and there are holes in them. Only they're by intention. You can tell that they're individual threads more. And that, I think, that's not the best illustration, but it does. This thing of suffering together. Romans 8:17. I put a cross reference here to Philippians 3:10. And I think it fits here, but it doesn't have a soon in it. But Romans 8:17 definitely does. And there are times we just as soon not look at this verse. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, together heirs with Christ, together, and this together is, just a sec, I'm going to look at my text closer, because I'm remembering it differently. Okay, no, it's just as soon. Together heirs, I thought there was another soon with it. If so be that we suffer together with him. We suffer. We're not out looking for suffering and pain. But when we do suffer together with him, it's because we have learned something about the spiritual life that's extremely important. And that's why I put Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him, experientially know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. See why I put it there? Sharing in common with his sufferings. Now I just lost the rest of the verse. Because that's the point where we wanted to get anyway.
Being conformed to death.
Being conformed, yeah, conformed. And that's, schematizo, can't pronounce Greek anyway. I've been around my grandson too much.
Second German.
And he's too smart for his own good.
Can I ask a question related to this? Mm-hmm. We talk about the fellowship of his sufferings and his verse here in Romans. I see different kinds of suffering. One, like in my case, where it's an illness type of a suffering, I find that very different than a suffering that's caused because someone is serving the Lord. Let's say by an unsaved person who's doing this. I get the impression that these verses is talking more about that type of suffering than it is someone who is just sick and suffering.
Right. But the same word is used of physical suffering in context.
In these contexts, it's referring to you're suffering because you're a Christian, not because you're ill.
Well, in 3:10, in that context, you know, sharing in common his sufferings, how is he suffering? Because he's suffering over others in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so that's, I mean, that is very definitely deals with spiritual issues.
Right, right.
And so we share in common and we're conformable to his death, knowing for that the provisions are there for those who, I mean, a lot of people never will recognize that he is suffering at the right hand when he sees a mess that Christians are making down here with their carnality. And that's what this is. And so when somebody's got a carnal problem, if you suffer, sounds like a biblical principle, but your physical suffering, it's the word suffering is pathema, or where pathetic comes from it. What is also interesting, the verb is pasco, one of my easy to remember vocabulary words since growing up. I was 40 some miles from Pasco, Washington. And I went, well, it wasn't where you go and suffer. I don't think it's the best of the Tri-Cities anymore. In that, but it's physical. I mean, the pains of suffering. You can see there's a great opportunity for some word study because you see it's used in more than one way. Okay, and that's why I put it here. We're citizens together. We share a common politics, and that's Philippians 2:19. But I trust Ephesians. Yeah. I went to Philippians, and so I...
That's not Republican.
Nope. Yeah. It's not the Republicans and sinners. Have you ever heard that joke before? 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe?" Whoops, I'm in the wrong verse. I'm in chapter 1, not 2. Yeah, we'll get it. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, sum politeima." I'm going to put the other ending on it. Together citizens. No more strangers or foreigners like we would have been. Remember who was afar off? Gentiles were afar off and was with Israel. It was a big deal if you ever became a proselyte even. Gentiles had zilch, nothing. But now we're together citizens with the saints. And let's see, I know I have a little note here, but that's okay. And of the household of God. See, it sounds a little bit like Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heavens. Don't forget that's plural. I like that. Is he saying my citizenship is in the present heaven? And it will be in the future heaven? Notice heavens, that's plural. Or is it in the three heavens? Any way you look at it is great. On that. And the word politema, obviously you can hear politics in it. It's the word for citizenship. And I, like I said, I'm using the noun out of Philippians 3 in that. Okay. Future sharing. And I'm just going to have to sail through here. And I skipped one of these verses and I could have picked it up. In the future, because we are in Christ, we will be raised and presented together. We'll be raised and presented together. This is not a partial resurrection passage. There are those who believe that if you're one kind of a Christian, you'll be raised at one time. And if you're a better Christian, you'll be raised at another time. He does as well, yeah. Yeah. And so there's different resurrections. And that's when, let's say the bottom line is, they confuse the resurrections in the Old Testament with the resurrection in the New. You know, I'm, every time I look at this, I'm thinking of a verse that I don't have in here. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, when it says we will be caught up together. That's in one together unity. It's not depending on how spiritual you are, how spiritual you're not. So, in spite of the misuse of Matthew there.
That's 1 Thessalonians 4 and what?
4, where are we at? 16, 17?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, harpazo with the soon. And that one. We will be conformed together in to Christ's glorified body. That's the verse after 3:20 in Philippians 3. Remember, our citizenship is in heavens. Now I'll have to get back over there so I can read it right. Okay. I'll go ahead and read 20 and translate it as I go. For our citizenship is in heavens, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation or limitation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to his working, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Now, the word fashioned like is morphe, made in the same form together. Sounds a little bit like that passage of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. We will have that same form of body. And I used to think it'd be nice to have that, you know, 20 seconds before we got caught up, have that new body, but we got to see him first. Why did I think that? I'm just a guy. When I was a kid, I just wanted to walk through a wall once in a while. You know, he could walk through a wall. I wanted to do it just to see it, to have it happen, you know. And I'd say that was kind of a guy thing. I think we just would love to be able to do that. But this thing of being formed together, we'll live together with him. That soon makes a difference. This thing of having a mansion over the hilltop, it was a song that was popular in my day. We're going to be together with the Lord. We may be in the New Jerusalem with him, but we're going to be together with him. When it says ever with the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says always with the Lord. And I can't fathom that grace.
Which word is the soon in there? Is it the waiting together or which?
Just a sec. Okay. I grabbed it and I just went away from it. Yeah, 21. It's in 21. It's to conform, fashioned in the AV.
Okay, the word transform in my
life. Okay, yeah, it's morphe. It's, you know, Romans 12, be metamorphosed. That's this word. And metamorphosis, you know, they've used that in sciences. And change the form. And so that's it right there, yeah. I mean, I was looking later, and that's why I was, yeah, it's just assumed, but it's not as fat as the one in Rome. Philippians 3:21. Yeah, and we're in 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 8 words in. And then, yeah. Yeah, so assume or fa'o if we went to the root on it. So we'll live together with him, and we're going to share his glory. Romans 8:17. I think we already have plenty to look forward to, don't we? Just in the stuff we looked at. Then it says we will reign with him. And that's 2 Timothy 2:12. I understand how finite I am. And so it's hard to fathom the fact that we're going to share with the creator of the universe and what he does in his human nature. It's just grace all over the place. If I got thrown into that right now, I would be so incompetent, it wouldn't even be funny. Because I wouldn't know what to do, I wouldn't have any sense, and God is doing it, so it's only going to be okay. It says, if we suffer together with him, we shall reign together with him. We shall, let's do it a little differently, we shall king it together with him. So we're basileo. We're king is basileia. We're going to be like kings together with him. If we say no to him, he'll say no to us. This idea of ruling with Christ, that is at least millennial.
Absolutely.
And how it's going to work, I cannot tell you. I don't know. Are we going to be ruling strictly from the New Jerusalem? Probably. But are we going to come with when he comes to earth and shows his power over the millennial kingdom on planet earth from the temple and then in the earthly Jerusalem? We don't know. We need a couple more verses for that. But it says we're going to rule with him. We're going to king with him. And he's over the whole thing. And we're going to let him do it. But what's he going to let us do? Well, why do I have to keep saying this? I can hardly wait in that matter. Okay. Well, that is the position material. Next round, I have more Roman numerals following here. And I'm going to have to hopscotch down through this to tie the notes out. We're dealing with sealing, earnest indwelling, and the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the material we've gone through is essential for understanding some of the other material. We'll be involved with some of this, like the filling side, when we get into next quarter, if the Lord tarries. And let's just continue in that. So we will pick up here. And I will have to make some choices as to where we're going to go down through here. You can see we could go another quarter. with these. And the outline is designed that way. Now, if you saw my regular seminary notes, you could understand why it'd be easy to go another quarter. And I don't have time in those notes either. So, okay, Father, you continue to bless us. You continue to demonstrate your goodness to us so we're happy. You gave us revelation. Sometimes we're full of great questions because we don't know because you didn't give us enough. But really, you did give us enough. By faith, we can grasp it and enjoy it and eagerly anticipate the fulfillment of these things or live these things that we looked at tonight. We'll thank you in Christ's name.